Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about the game of lacrosse to start the show today. It's become very popular in Wisconsin, and we're going to find out some more about it with our two guests. One of the guests, Aaron Ennis, who is president of the Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation, a longtime coach, also a member of the Wisconsin Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Aaron, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great to have you with us. Eric Logan, our other guest, is president of the Baraboo Area Lacrosse Association. He's a coach and the parent of lacrosse players. And Eric, welcome to you.
Hey, Larry. Thank you for having me today. This is great.
Well, it's great to be able to talk with you guys about lacrosse. And as you listen in to these two experts, I hope you will join in. Are you a player? Do you like watching lacrosse? Do you have kids who play lacrosse? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'd love to hear from you. Eric, let's turn to you first. You're a Ho-Chunk Nation tribal member. There's a long history of playing lacrosse in Wisconsin. Let's talk about that history. When did the game get started here?
Geez, I didn't get to play too much of the contemporary game. I only played a couple of the traditional games here and there as I grew up. But we have many stories, legends. I remember one of my grandfathers, his name was Morgan White Eagle. He was telling me a very old legend, a very old story about all the tribes in North America had a gigantic game of lacrosse here in the Midwest. And it ran for miles. The field was miles and miles and miles long. It lasted for months. All the tribes in all four directions attended. And then he says, as legend has it, that field got so wore down, that is where you get the Mississippi River from.
So it goes back a long, long time then. Long way back. Yeah, a long way back. So you mentioned traditional and modern or whatever. I forget how you called it. But how was the game different then, the traditional game?
That one was kind of no holds barred. There was no rules. The sticks were different. And, we didn't have any pads. I mean, you could just run out there and just keep playing. Sometimes we played the game that I played in. I think it was like 10-on-10. And then I played another one when I was, in middle school. I think that was in the Black River Falls area. That was a smaller game. There was probably only 10 of us on the field at that time. And then I got invited further up north in my high school days. And I remember a couple guys getting injured pretty good. One guy, a broken ankle, a lot of smashed wrists. And, they get pretty rough.
And so did you kind of just grow up in the sport? Or I just wondered if it was part of the fam?
No, me personally, as growing up, being a Ho-Chunk, and attending some of these games. And then it wasn't until later, because I was totally basketball, football. It wasn't until later till my sons grew up and they asked about it. And living here in Baraboo, Wisconsin, the closest play that had an organized contemporary team of lacrosse was in Prairie du Sac. So I was able to enroll my boys there and play there because they have a great program down in Sauk City there.
That's great. And how popular is lacrosse with the Wisconsin tribes now? Pretty popular? Or?
It's getting more and more popular. I say within the last 10 years, it's starting to really shoot up. We've had a lot of great Oneida players. We've got a lot of great Ho-Chunk players. That actually attended college on lacrosse scholarships. So, more and more kids, I think, that are growing up in rural areas, like up in northern Wisconsin, are trying to make their way down and find, contemporary lacrosse programs because it's really enjoyable for them.
Yeah. Well, let me turn to you, Aaron. How'd you get involved in the game?
Like Eric, I grew up around the game, but it was the contemporary side of it. And just through college lacrosse and then moving up here to Wisconsin, getting involved with a local program here. I've been involved now for roughly plus or minus 20 years in the state of Wisconsin alone for lacrosse as a coach, and then as a more on the you know, in the trenches kind of deal with the board and at the state level, and doing everything we can to make sure that the game is available for our young players and our young student athletes out there. So again, it was more of a something that I grew up with and participated in at the collegiate level, and then it just sort of transcended into the rest of my life as I moved here and established myself here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, we said earlier, lacrosse is Wisconsin's fastest growing sport. Why is it becoming so popular? I mean, maybe ask you both that. Well, Aaron, first you. Go ahead.
I believe the popularity of the sport has to do with the accessibility to the athletes. You don't have to be the fastest kid on the field. You don't have to be the strongest or the best athlete. You just have to have some tenacity, and you have to have some dedication to learning how to use your stick and your stick skills, and that'll get you as far as anybody else out there on the field, no matter what your athletic ability is. So it really is a nice gateway sport for a lot of athletes out there or people who want to participate in something in the fall or the spring. The other reason I believe it's popular is it transcends well from some of the other sports out there. We get a lot of crossover players from hockey and from soccer because the game makes sense to them. If you understand how the game is set up on the field, it's roughly 100 meters by 50 meters or 110 yards by 60 yards, size of a soccer field. And the goals are not on the end lines. They're pulled out. So there is play completely around the goals and behind the goals, which is much like a hockey arena where you think about the nets and crease play. And so we get a lot of transition athletes as well. So that really feeds the sport quite well.
Yeah. Eric, anything to add to that?
No, he hit a lot of it on the head. The biggest one that I find the biggest bonus, I think, is – and as I tell everybody, is everyone gets to play. Everybody gets to play because we have to circulate. Just like on a hockey team, all the players have to come on the field. They just all rotate out. It's just there's nobody gets to ride the bench. Nobody gets to sit on the pine. We actually don't even have benches at a lacrosse game for anybody to sit on. So, but yeah, it's everybody's in there. Everybody gets to touch the ball. Everybody's moving. So it includes everybody.
Give our listeners a chance to join in. Give a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. I believe Lucas was on from lacrosse, and was wondering our comment coming on the fact that there were seems like the bigger schools were involved mostly, or is that?
I don't know if it was on my end. It was kind
of, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
If we can repeat the question, I didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had Lucas from lacrosse online who wondered if this was more often played within the larger schools, the larger high schools in the state, or is it or not?
Well, I think Aaron has a good list of all the programs within the state.
Yeah,
Aaron?
So what typically has happened, what we see happen is you'll get a group of kids – who are interested in the sports, and their parents have the initiative to get out there and help them get it rolling. But they come from different school districts, so they'll start at a youth league or at a high school level, what we will refer to as a cooperative type of arrangement, where it'll involve multiple schools. And as that program grows over the years, then those schools will tend to split off into their own independent school programs. And that's where we've seen the majority of the growth here in Wisconsin. Now, recently, in the last few years, we've gotten a lot of independent and smaller programs that have started up on their own, which is highly encouraging. And we're here to help in any way we can. So it's not specific to the larger schools. There are, the mainstays that you might hear of around the state do carry lacrosse programs, and good programs, that is. And there are also small schools like Baraboo that carry programs as well. So it's encouraging, and it is across the board. You just have to find the right people and make the right connections if you want to get involved.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's great. Like I said, we started my sons, we went to Prairie du Sac in Sauk City, started in their program, and it would just happen as the boys were growing after a couple of years. I looked down the sidelines. The parents were looking at each other down the sidelines, and we were just counting heads. You're from Baraboo. You're from Baraboo. You're from Baraboo. Maybe we could start our own little Baraboo lacrosse organization. And that's how Baraboo Area Lacrosse started.
Oh, really cool. Let's take some calls. Tia in Cumberland, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. One of your guests had mentioned that a lot of the players that they see come from other sports, like soccer and hockey. And I started out as a soccer player and fell into lacrosse because a fellow teammate was a two-sport athlete, and she also played lacrosse. So I found I had a passion for it, and I ended up getting a scholarship to go to college. And it was very empowering, but one of the things that I love most about the sport is that I was able to pass it on to my children and was able to coach for them and help their friends learn the sport and develop a passion for the sport, regardless of gender. It really can be a very competitive sport, but at the same time, it builds a level of camaraderie, co-ed, as well as boys versus girls. So I just was wondering what their take on that was, and do they see more women joining the sport in Wisconsin? I grew up on the East Coast, and I'm a transplant, so I'm happy to see it growing here.
All right, Tia, thank you so much for calling. Aaron, let's turn to you first.
Yeah, the women's side of the sport is growing faster than the guys' side of the sport right now with new programs, and that's more recently in the last few years. But if you look at the state of Wisconsin, we have roughly 10,000 U.S. lacrosse members, not quite that many, but that's a good benchmark. And that includes youth, third, fourth grade, all the way up to the high school level. And that's quite a few players out there. And when you look at the high school level, then you start to break down to over 100 programs across the state. Involved, and not quite, but almost half of those are girls programs, which is highly encouraging. And we'd love to see that growth on the girls side as well. Our biggest challenge is getting the support systems and the resources there for the girls and the guys, whether that be umpiring, officiating, field resources, or equipment to get the kids out on the field. Finding the kids to play isn't the problem. It's the resources for us.
What about you?
Yeah, I agree with what Aaron said. We are having a lot of girls that are interested. We even had a girls team here in Baraboo for a little while, but I get a lot of inquiries. I think one of the biggest obstacles is finding a coach who's willing to coach the girls. The rules are slightly different. I wish we could score a transplant person, that girl that played lacrosse and could come help out some of the programs that we have here that are just itching to start. They're just looking for, coaches.
And Tia was, and Mark and Madison's coming up next, so we'll talk to him in just a second. But to follow up on something that Tia was talking about, she got a scholarship and she played out east, from the sound of it. And the east, it seems like, I mean, for organized at the college level, the sport was more prominent in the east than in the Midwest. Would you agree with that, or am I all wet?
No, it's the
Aaron,
East.
What do you Eric?
Yeah, it's New York. It's you know, Boston, Maryland, all the way up and down. I mean, that's as this native say, that's the first contact. You know, they're going to get all the first of everything, and you know, it is very popular out there. We've been out there many times, and I know sometimes here where we talk about, if kids don't make the baseball team, they're really not going to do anything for spring sports, or they may go out for track or maybe even lacrosse. But out there, it's different. Out there in the East Coast, it's if you don't make the lacrosse team, you'll probably go out for baseball is what I hear.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we got Mark from Madison coming up. Just a reminder that our guests today are Aaron Ennis and Eric Logan, both great proponents of the sport of lacrosse. It's great to have them with us on the show today. You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Talking about lacrosse in Wisconsin today with Eric Logan, president of the Baraboo Area Lacrosse Association, a coach, parent of lacrosse players, Aaron Ennis, president of the Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation, and a longtime coach. He's a member of Wisconsin Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Join in again with your questions at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, let's turn to Mark in Madison next. Mark, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Your last question really set me up pretty well, because I grew up in a suburb of Milwaukee. And right after middle school, our family got transferred out to Syracuse, New York. And in the public schools, all of a sudden, here was a sport I'd never heard of. And I didn't actually play it, but I was into some other sports. But a brother of mine, who also had never heard of it, was totally into it, ended up getting a scholarship to Cornell University and winning a national championship while he was there. But I was always amazed at how cool that sport was. I could never figure out why it wasn't in the Midwest. One other thing, and then I'll shut up for a second. When I was in Syracuse, there was another version of lacrosse called Fox Lacrosse, which was a professional league that played in a hockey rink in Syracuse. And it was just like a hockey game. And much like hockey back then, it was really violent. I mean, there was a whole lot of whacking going on. And it was incredibly fun. So I have great memories of lacrosse, even having never taken up the sport. I'd love to watch it, and I watch it on TV when it makes its rounds.
Oh, Mark, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Well, let's get some comments. Well, start with you, Eric.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing with it's growing, and these programs, now they're stemming professional athletes. And the thing that I like now is sometimes we're getting to view some of these professional lacrosse leagues, major league lacrosse leagues. Sometimes they hit as close to Chicago, the Twin Cities. We haven't really had an exhibition game or anything here in Wisconsin yet. I'll be looking forward to that. But, I mean, they're really trying their best to make sure college athletes, professional athletes are really educating people and showing people another avenue. Like Aaron was mentioning earlier, lacrosse really encompasses an all-around athlete. I mean, from basketball to soccer to hockey to wrestling, even wrestling, track and field, cross country, it really breeds, you know, you're probably top athletes.
Aaron, a comment from you.
Well, to the caller's comments there about the game, and it is a contact game, so I just wanted to highlight that so people aren't confused. Just like football or hockey, there is live checking and full contact within the sport. Now, that shouldn't preclude the fact that the sport is a finesse sport, though. So injuries, although they do occur, are hopefully kept at a minimum within the sport and monitored, you know, to the highest levels of safety, safe and fair play, you know, on and off the field. And that's what we always strive to do.
Let's take another call. Betty in Ashland, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Betty. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say, like my youngest child is 30 now, and they were playing lacrosse when they were little kids in Red Cliff. And, you know, not only with the traditional sticks, and her grandfather used to make the wooden ones. And I look at the difference between the contemporary stick and a traditional stick, and I'm like, boy, you got to have some finesse to do those old-timers. It's just that little bitty, you know, hole with leather on the bottom that you're handling that ball with. But it's still active quite a bit up here. I know my grandkids go to Ashland School, and they have it in the gym there sometimes. And the way it was explained to me is that it's a way to settle disputes, you know, that lacrosse was that historically. And so I guess that's all I wanted to say is just that it's up here, you know, and Bad River plays it too, and Red Cliff Tribe plays it too. So.
Yeah, Betty, thank you so much. Comment on that, Aaron?
Just to highlight Betty's comment there about the differences in equipment between the contemporary game and the equipment across the board, it's much like golf, where you can get a stick for just about any swing that you have with modern-day equipment. So there really isn't a lot of comparison, which goes back to my comment that it is a finesse game, especially the traditional game that Eric grew up playing. You really, really have to have a command of your skill set to master that game, and it takes a lot of hours and a lot of dedication and a lot of time to do that. So across the board, they are two completely different games, although they're founded in the same great creator lore that's out there about the evolution of the game and what we see today.
Let's, there are some people who are saying, well, I don't really understand the game. You've kind of described it. It's a combination, or it is similar to many games, but let's talk about the basics of the game in terms of equipment and things of that nature. Aaron, you want to start on that?
Sure. What you'll see at any high school around the state as you drive by, or any community park where you have community-based lacrosse and kids playing, is you're going to see kids on the field, and you're going to have 10 kids on each team on the field at one time. With that includes their one goalie. So much like soccer, you have that 10-plus. With the girls, it's 11 with the goalie out there as well. And then you have, basically, it breaks down like any other sport. You're going to have your offensive players, you're going to have your defensive players, and you're going to have your transition players that are going to move the ball up and down the field, those that are accountable for scoring, and those that are accountable for defending the keeper and the keep. And they use equipment. Because it's a full contact sport on the guy's side, they have to wear helmets and mouth guards, arm pads, shoulder pads. The girls is not full contact, but it still is contact. You'll see some injuries there as well, so we're very aware of that, and we try and, again, safe and fair play on the field. So they use these sticks and the body equipment to protect themselves, and then to move the balls up and down the field and score on the goal. And it's very much a time and room game, if that makes sense, much like hockey is, where you're trying to create space and move the ball or move the puck down the ice efficiently and quickly to gain advantage over numbers and get a good look at scoring a goal there.
Yeah, and the sticks themselves are there's a sort of a net on the end of them. Maybe describe the sticks for those who may not be familiar with them. Aaron, do you want to do that? Or Eric? Eric, let's go to you.
She was talking about the traditional sticks, the older ones that were made solidly out of wood, usually a birch. Those were curved at the end. They soaked them in water, curved them, and then they put a leather, couple leather straps in there and made a cup in that circle for the ball. Now that little cup was probably about the size of your fist, and the ball was just small enough to fit in that cup. So you had to be pretty precise when it came to the old school traditional game. Today's contemporary game, the sticks, they're still about the same length. We're talking like about, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 feet long. The head on the end of the stick is probably slightly smaller than a racquetball head. But it still has the netting in it, the cup.
Yeah.
To catch the balls. The balls are still pretty small, about the size of a tennis ball. They're solid rubber. And they have some weight to them. And the lacrosse players, no matter whether they're traditional or they're today's high school, college, collegiate, professional lacrosse player, they have what we call a cradle. It's a way to handle the ball when it's inside of your stick so they don't drop the ball. And like Aaron said, these guys take hours and hours, I mean, practicing, kind of getting their craft, loving the game. I mean, my sons always had a stick in their hand walking through the house, just trying to make sure they just always were able to handle it. So that stick really becomes like an arm or an extra hand for the lacrosse players. It's really like an extra digit, and they really enjoy themselves. And that's the stick that they play with. They even give them names. They get to name their sticks too. That's the cool thing.
Oh, Sandra in Mount Pleasant has something for us. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I was wondering about protective equipment. My granddaughters out in Connecticut play high school lacrosse, and I might be mixing it up. They also played field hockey, and in one of the sports, the girls didn't have the protection and the protective equipment that the boys did. It was different, but that might have been field hockey. I don't know what protective do they do, teeth guards, and then what else for protection?
Yeah. Well, Aaron, do you want to take that?
Yeah, the mandatory equipment. So the differences you're going to see are in lacrosse. Again, the boys is full contact, the girls is not. The boys are required to wear a helmet. They are required to wear a mouth guard. They are required to wear the shoulder pads, arm pads, and chest plates. And on the girls' side, they're still required to wear that mouth guard. But beyond that, it's pretty much beyond the mouth guard and the eye goggles. It's pretty much whatever they want to wear because it's not a contact sport. I can't speak to the field hockey side of it so much. Maybe Eric can, but for the cross, there's definitely a difference, and there's definitely required equipment depending on whether you're playing on the guy's side or the girl's side.
Oh.
Yeah. No, Aaron hit it right on the head. I do know the girls, they also wear the goalkeeper, still wears a helmet just like the guys do on the guys' side. I don't know anything about girls' field hockey. I know I've watched it like on ESPN2 or something, and I think they had some kind of face protection. I don't remember, but I mean, I never really seen a live game or anything.
Okay. Well, Sandra, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's give Janice and Madison a chance to join in. Janice, hi.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is so exciting for me. I'm a grandmother, and my grandson, who is 12, started playing lacrosse a couple years ago. And I actually sent an email to the coach that you have online, the coach in Baraboo, because I was looking for a game that also had the historical cultural significance. So to help my grandson, he was kind of in a lull a couple years ago. And it's just been the most beautiful gift for him. He loves playing lacrosse. He's on the Stags team out of Middleton. Help me out here. And also the one that you were referring to by Sauk, the organization by Sauk City.
Yep.
And he's been in all these tournaments, and he tried a lot of the different, you know, positions, and he ended up falling in love with being a goalie, and he's really, really good. I just have so much gratitude for all the positives in his life. And he's so good, and they won their tournament this fall, and he was so excited. They took a group picture. Mm-hmm. And he asked if he could be, he wanted to hold the trophy. So he held the trophy in front of everyone. And it's just been, it helped him physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect you can imagine. And I love the fact that this is a game where everyone gets to play. And that was really important for him when he started. And I wanted to share that I asked him if he would teach one of my students, a fourth grader, just some beginning stick skills. So on Sunday, we had an intergenerational lacrosse practice out at the park here in Madison. So I was there, grandmother, with my daughter, with my grandson, and with his friend. And I love that part of the community games. And if anyone can speak to that, that would be beautiful.
Oh, Janice, thanks so much for calling. Probably both of our guys can make a comment. Eric, start with you.
That's what it's all about. The thing I love is someone may not know about lacrosse. And it's a funny story I'd like to share is when we were starting our lacrosse program in Baraboo, and as you know, Aaron, it's always hard to find a goalie. That's a special kind of person there. But my son happened to be walking home from school one day, and there was a boy that he normally walks by. His name is Bronson. And he told Bronson, he said, "Bronson, you want to play lacrosse?" And Bronson said, "I don't know anything about lacrosse." He said, "Well, we need a goalie." And Bronson said, "Okay, I can do that." So Bronson showed up, never played. And I think he's going to graduate this year. And I believe he has a lacrosse scholarship. So, I mean, he fell in love with it. He's a great leader, a great student. I know he's working, he helps his mother out a lot. He's just a great all around kid. And, you know, sometimes someone's looking for something and I'm just glad lacrosse is there. Then we can, you know, the camaraderie, like she was saying, that her grandson had and loves it. Oh, that's great. That's the best.
Thanks, Eric. Aaron, a comment from you?
Well, I think she really, really hit it out of the park with her comment about community-based lacrosse. When you get the community together from different areas and not just, Baraboo kids, but kids in surrounding areas and come together to play that game, that is such a great way to share an experience amongst families and amongst the kids and the student athletes, especially at the youth level when they need that kind of guidance and that mentorship. It's really fantastic to see the growth of the game and watch these kids as they progress from third, fourth grade, fifth, sixth grade on up through middle school into high school and watch them grow. You know, speaking of funny stories, I was out on the field last fall with a good friend of mine and head coach at a program out here. And I made the comment that the kids we were looking at on the field that some of them weren't born yet when I started coaching at Arrowhead High School. And he kind of laughed, and it really shows the age, but the longevity of the game too, and what it has done in the community and how it's been able to have staying power.
Yeah, it's growing.
That's great. I was thinking about my own teaching where I've I've had the daughter or the son of somebody I taught, and it really makes you feel a little old sometimes when that happens. Oh, man. Tony emailed to recommend the movie Grizzlies. He says it's a great movie about lacrosse. Do you guys agree, Eric?
I didn't get to see that. It's on definitely on my watch list. I don't know if you get to see that one, Aaron.
I have not seen it either.
I think it's where that teacher goes to Alaska, I believe. It looks good.
I have not seen it either, so I guess we gotta. I'm writing it down so I don't forget it.
Yeah, Larry's gonna have to have a watch party, I think.
Grizzlies movie. All right, I'm gonna write that down, and I'm gonna one of my TV outfits must have that in there. I can watch it. Denny and Eau Claire wondered about the cost of equipment, and also are you seeing players switching over because of a lack of concussions? Just in general, Aaron. You want to take that, or, well, either one of you for that matter. But, Aaron, go, you start.
Well, the equipment, it can be as much money as you want to spend, just like anything else. You can go out and buy a $120 football, or you can go out and buy a $20 football. It's the person who's using it who's going to make the difference. So my recommendation for anybody who's getting into the game is don't spend a lot of money. Just like you were going to go out and buy golf clubs, you're not going to go out and buy tour clubs your first time out. And then there's a lot of resources as far as recertified equipment that you can use. There are some retailers that will rent equipment to see if you are going to stay involved with the game. So it's just a matter of connecting with the right people and talking to the right people. And don't break the bank when you're first getting started on it. That's for sure. You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck by practicing than by spending money on a stick.
Eric, anything to add to that?
Yeah, no. I know like a lot of places like Dick's Sporting Goods, Dunham's, Play It Again Sports. Sometimes they have these packages where they have like it's a bag. And I think it's like $100 where you can get a set of gloves, elbow pads, and then a chest protector, you know? So, and then, you know, sometimes you can just find a stick for like $20 or $30. And it's, you know, it's got the head, it's got the strings on it. It's ready to go. You don't have to do anything else. My son, he plays college. So, you know, he buys his own separate shaft of a stick that's made out of carbon fiber, and it's cost however much, and then he buys a head from somewhere else, and he buys strings from somewhere else, and he puts his all together. But you know, there are places, you know, like Aaron says, that have good deals. We have usually with our organization and pretty much any organization, you always have somebody that they have extra helmets, they have extra sticks. So, you know, it's, yeah. I don't want to say hand me down, but everybody always wants everybody to play, you know, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So how do, you know, it's been a lot of fun talking with you guys today. How do people say they want to, maybe they've got a kid or a grandkid or whatever that they think, hey, might or she might be interested in lacrosse. Is there a website, Aaron? I'll turn to you on that part first.
There is. If you just want to, I'm sorry. If you just want to do a search for Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation, you'll pull up our website, and there's a place in there where you can ask questions, and we'll direct you to. Well, depending on what your question is, but we can direct you to the closest programs in your area if you want to make that connection right off the bat.
You guys have your own website?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, Eric, do you have your own website?
No, we just got our own Facebook page. But yeah, Aaron says, you first of all, just go to Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation. And, you know, we've got, you know, the Madison Lacrosse League. We've got the Milwaukee area lacrosse. What was it? Super 8? Is that what it's called? Super 8? Yeah, we've got different districts. We've got the Fox Valley District. So Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation is pretty good at directing anybody where the closest club, you know, where you might be able to pick up some game, join a team. But we Baraboo Area Lacrosse, we have a Facebook page.
Well, it's been a lot of fun talking with both of you today about lacrosse, and I really appreciate it. I think this may have spurred a little interest among some other folks in lacrosse, for sure, and it was great to hear the calls. There were some really, everybody who called has somebody, or either they played or have a relative or friend who played, and it really... we're attributing a lot to the game and playing the game. So appreciate your work too, both of you. You do a lot of work for the game itself and for the people, the youngsters and so forth who play in it. And I appreciate that as well. Eric and Aaron, thank you both very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
Hey, thank you, Larry.
Eric Logan is president of the Baraboo Area Lacrosse Association, a coach and the parent of lacrosse players. Aaron Ennis is president of the Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation, a longtime coach. He's a member of the Wisconsin Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Great to have them with us. I learned a lot. I hope you did as well. I don't know if Megan Hart ever played lacrosse, but regardless, she's going to be up next, and we're going to talk about sports in general across Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.